I was telling Gay, I said, I don't know what I'm preaching on. Usually, last few months, I've been starting to get, a little bit of an idea before I come, and I don't know. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you know, God, what needs to be spoken here today. Lord, I believe, Lord, that you are working in our hearts in such a significant way. Lord, do not, Lord, let us miss this moment of visitation. God, I pray that we would realize, Lord, how much your love has been lavished on us, how much you have bestowed your love on us, how much you have given us, Lord, everything that we need, Lord, for this life, God, to live for you. And Lord, that we would stop looking, Lord, at what is in front of us. And we stop looking at what's been behind us, God, and stop looking at what may be coming at us, Lord, and we would look at you, Lord. The author and the finisher of our faith, God, the reason, Lord, that we're able to even stand here today, the reason, Lord, that we're even able to live, God, is because of you. You've given us the ability to live and move, God, and have our being in you, God. I pray that we would focus, God, on you. Lord, that we would not look at our financial circumstances. We would not look at our relational circumstances. Lord, we would not look at what it seems like in the workplace, God, or Lord, even in our home life, God, if it's not what we want it to be. God, I pray we'd look to you. Realize that you're the one, Lord, that gives us life. Thank you for what you've done here today, Lord, in hearts, God. And I know you're not done. I pray, Holy Spirit, you continue, Lord, to reveal yourself as not only Savior, but as their Father in heaven who loves them with an everlasting love. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you for setting captives free here today. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord, that are being established right here today in our midst, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I opened up to this where I've been most of the morning off and on. But if you would just turn to your Bibles with me to 1 John 3, verse 1. I've been going through different verses in the Bible that contain the word love. And whether it's be loved or loved, and through the New Testament. And I started from Revelation. I'm working my way back. And this morning, I kind of was going through some of the ones in 1 John. And I went through like chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And when I hit this, it's like something rang true in me. And as I've said many times over the past few months, is that God is doing something new in his children. For many years, we've called ourselves God's people. I mean, I did. We're the people of God, we're the army of God. And there was a mindset that, we were able to, defeat the enemy. We're able to, stomp on his head and victory was in our camp and all those things. But something was missing, and that was staying in our love that the Father had given us and had bestowed upon us. And at least for me. And in verse 1 here of chapter 3, it says, this is the Amplified, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason the world does not know, recognize, and acknowledge us is that it does not know or recognize and acknowledge Him. New King James reads this way, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. So, think about this. If we're not receiving this sonship, if we're not receiving being children of God, then I believe what's happening is, and this is what I've seen, is that the world knows us. The world recognizes us because we're like in the world and we're living of the world. The only way that we can truly live outside of being trapped in the world system is in Christ. And in Christ is our sonship. In Christ is our daughter. It's not just authority. It's not just being part of the armor of God. It's being children of God. I mean, why else did Jesus say, unless you're like little children, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God? It's because we have to realize that we're children. We are children. And, you know, some of us act like children. In a bad way sometimes. I want my... Yeah, anybody been there, done that? It's my ball. If you're not going to play my way, we're not going to play. But that's not the kind of children we're supposed to act like. We're supposed to act like children that totally rely, totally trust, totally depend on the Father. And you can't do that when you're in the world and being of the world. You can't do that. When you're living in this life, for this life, you can't totally depend on God. You can't totally be His child. I'm just telling you. Even though you are, it's like we were talking about, we're free. How many know we're free? Are we going to be any more free than what Jesus has made us free? We're not. So then everything that we have as freedom goes right now is what we have received by faith. Things that maybe you were bound with years ago, you're not bound with anymore. You've received by faith that freedom. But when you were born again, the instant you were born again, you're totally free. I know it doesn't make sense. So in the same way, are we going to be any more children than what we were the day we were born in God? Because you were born in God. Being born again means you were born of the Spirit to this earth in a spiritual form, and you have a heavenly Father. You are a child of God. But you're not going to be a child of God any more than you receive that by faith. See, behold what manner. See, he's saying, look, behold. Take a moment. Now, let's behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What is the display of his love? It's not that Pastor Mike's raising his voice in this certain point of the speech. His love is demonstrated in the cross. Behold what manner of love the Father has given us. See, his love is only going to be as tangible as you believe that cross is real. And as much as you receive the work of the cross into your life, you receive his love. See, we can go around all day and just saying, I want to receive your love, I want to receive your love. But the love comes from the Father through us seeing what the Son did. The Son demonstrated his love. The Father gave his love, his only begotten Son, so that we could receive this love lavished on us and be children of God. This is so important. I say this every week. It is so important. Believe me, this is the church of tomorrow, is being children of God. This is the church of today, being children of God, for those who are hearing by the Spirit. It's all over the place. I have others who tell me, Pastor Mike, I heard this from... And from unlikely places, they're talking about sonship and daughtership and being children of God. Why? Because it's so vital at this time. I can't give you all the reasons why God says that it is that way now. But all I can tell you is, based on what I'm sensing in my heart, based on what we're experiencing as a body of believers, you know, just waiting in his presence... Frankly, I don't want it to stop. I don't know if God's getting us ready for heaven or what, but I mean, I just love being in his presence. And I've heard people say, I love, you know, and they sing the song. And it's great to, you know, but when the songs are done, it's good to get on to the next thing. I'm not so interested in getting on to the next thing because his presence is filling me full of joy. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, has given us, has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. See, we are children of God. We're not just called it. We are children of God. Listen, beloved, now we are, verse 2, now we are children of God. Now we are. See, for a long time I thought, well, children of God, I'll be a child when I get to heaven, you know. And, you know, it's all good. That's when, you know, the consummation is going to happen, and I'll be the bride and the child and all those things. But now we are children of God. Now he is our Abba Father, our daddy, our papa. Now. I was sharing with someone today, and maybe it's just out of my own heart. Maybe I was just sharing, but it's like for the longest time, I've been in the Father's house. Okay. Yep. Let's turn in your Bibles. We'll get back to this, maybe. In Luke, I think it's, hang on. Patience is a virtue, you know that? Okay, Luke 15. Sorry, Moses, I got to go over here. Moses shared this when he taught. I think this is where a lot of the church is right now. If we go to Luke 15, verse 26. So this is the scene. The father has received back the prodigal son. The prodigal son is being restored, being made 100% as if he'd never even done anything, that he took his inheritance, that he squandered his inheritance. He's getting the ring back. He's getting the ring of authority. He's getting the shoes that represent the ability to go places. I mean, he's basically being fully clothed in his father's righteousness when he doesn't deserve it. And how many know God's goodness is there for the prodigals who leave the house? What about the prodigals that stay? What about the prodigals that are in the house? What about the prodigals who, even though they're eating maybe dinner with the father at the table, and even serving the father out in the field and ordering even the hired servants around, but do not truly know the Father or the love of the Father? Verse 26. Verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. They were celebrating the prodigal being back. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. So this is the brother. He's now angry that the father is having a party and has killed the fatted calf. He's angry. He was not going to go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. Oh, man, just listen to that. How many of us could say, man, how many years have we been serving you, Lord? And why does it seem like everybody else is prospering? Why does it seem like everybody else is getting ahead? Why does it seem like, I mean, you could name it. You know, we could start being this elder son and saying, why is everybody else? Lo, I've been with you these many years and have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. So this is a pretty bold statement. I've never done anything wrong. How many think he's never done anything wrong? Maybe in his own mind. But anyway, he's never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. I mean, you've killed the fatted calf. You haven't given me a goat that I could have fun with my friends. There's a heart in this brother. There's a heart in this son that does not know his identity, that does not know who he is, that does not know that he's a child of this wealthy man. He's talking like one of the servants. He's talking like somebody who's foreign to this father. He says here, "But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." See, that's what the Spirit is saying right now. Children, my sons and my daughters, don't set your eyes on what it seems like others may have been blessed with. Don't set your eyes on what you think you've had in the past. All that I have is yours. My love is yours. And folks, how many know that his love is enough? His love is enough. We may want material things. We may desire to have our lives all together or anything, but his love is enough. His love is enough to get us through anything that comes. Because right now, our lives may look like something that is, you know, for lack of a better term, normal, routine. We can expect to have things happen the same way each day, and our weekends are the same, and we can go places and do things. How many know that could change? How many know that the freedoms that we so enjoy here in the United States could go away? Then his love will be enough. His grace will be enough. You know, there's some in third world countries right now that when they receive Christ as their Savior, his love is enough, because his love literally takes them to sometimes their death immediately when they receive Christ. If not disowning by their parents, being outcasts in their community, having no place to go. And his love is enough. And we need to make his love enough. We need to make the fact that we are children of God. That is God's love being bestowed upon us. That we are children of God. We are sons and daughters. Let's not be like this prodigal who despised, really, his father because of the love that he lavished on the other brother who didn't deserve it. How many know that brother who was in the house really didn't deserve anything? It was all by that love of the father that he gave him. I mean, we think that we receive Christ and it's our right to have all these things. Who says so? Who says that it's our right to have everything in our life all together? You know what it's our right to be? Is loved. It's not only our right, it's our privilege. It's an honor to be loved by God. Lord, let this sink in to me, Lord. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called or named the children of God, the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now here's the key. And everyone, say with me, everyone. And everyone who has this hope, what hope? The hope that we're children of God, and when he comes, we're going to be like him. Just as he is, we will be. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself. Everyone who has this hope in him, capital H, purifies himself just as he is pure. So I was asking the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, you're the one that takes our filthy rags and you make us righteous. You're the one that makes us holy. You're the one that makes us right in your sight. So what do we do to purify ourselves? Well, it means that we keep ourselves from the world, unstained from the world. Now, do we do this on our own strength? No. We do this with the Father's love in our hearts. it empowers us to separate ourselves from the world. And let me just tell you, everybody's separation from the world is a little different because we're all at different places in our walk in Christ. Some may say, you know, like, well, I can't go do that. And others may say, well, I don't have any problem with that. And the one that says, you don't do that, I can't go do that, doesn't look at the one who says, I don't have any problem with that, with judgment, because it's what is in their heart that separates them from the world. Now, maybe 5 years from now, 2 years from now, maybe 2 weeks from now, that other will say, I'm away from that. But the thing is that when we know what is in store for us, the hope that we have in Him, that the Father loves us and has lavished His love on us through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we now can keep ourselves pure. We can now keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Why? In our own strength? No. With our own determination? Biting our lips? Saying, I'm going to do it. No. By saying, God, I rest in You. God, I cease from my own labors, my own striving, my own stressing, my own just trying to make it happen. I rest in Your love. I receive Your love. I receive being Your son. I receive being Your daughter. And now because of that, I'm going to keep myself from the world with Your strength, with Your help. I'm going to purify myself as You're pure. It sounds like a work that we do, but it's a yielding work. It's a submitting work. Just as receiving our sonship is a yielding work, a submitting work. I know it sounds so simple. It does. It sounds so simple. But how many battle up here? Come on. How many battle up here? I mean, this is a battle. This is a fight. Because this is, I believe, the ground where we change walking from our own natural lives into really walking in the supernatural as Jesus did. That was Jesus' secret when He was here on the earth. Not that He just had the fullness of the Spirit, but that He had such a connection with the Father. He was a son. He's the firstborn among many brethren. We have joined Him in this gift of sonship. And because of that, we can now receive God's love in our hearts in such a way that we live it out. Live it out loud. We love others just freely, without hesitation. I mean, that's what He desires for us, is that we love as He loved. I had somebody come to my door yesterday, and, you know, living in a parsonage at the church, you sometimes just have people come knock on your door, and, you know, they're hoping it's a parsonage, so someone's going to be in there that's spiritual, and they're going to help me out. Well, this individual who was there again yesterday had been there years ago, came back many times. I'd give $1, $2, you know, it's like, you know, and I just never had like the freedom to give a whole lot. But this one time, I gave this individual $20. I said, listen, their eyes went like this. I said, listen, I'll give this to you, but if you want any more, you've got to come to church. And so we can help you and move you along. I'll be there. Well, never saw the person. So about 2 years later, they showed up again and said, hey, can we? I said, I can't give you anything because I think. So, oh, that wasn't me. I said, no, I know it was you. And so anyway, so she came yesterday and came to the door and said, hi, Pastor, how you doing? I'm doing good. It's like, do you have anything? No, I can't give you anything, you know. And I didn't go into the story again because she just says it never happened. And I closed the door and I walked away. And it was about like an hour later. And this is the first time this has really happened with this individual. Others I've turned down and like, oh, Lord, I missed that. But this was different. This was like something in me was saying, that was just my old nature. I was just that old man. That was that slave mentality. I didn't even take a moment to find out what's going on in their life. Never looked at her with the love of Christ. Never saw her through God's eyes. I just looked at her as that person that kept coming back to me. And because I haven't received my sonship, do you realize that's the key? I'm trying to be open right now. That's the key. I haven't received the Father's love in my heart. Because if it's fully activated in my heart, I would see her as God sees her. See, I can't just determine in my mind to see her as God sees her. Now, maybe I could walk around every 10 minutes, have my phone call, see people as God sees them. Okay, I'll do that. It's like, you know, and it'd work for a while, you know, but then your phone's going to crash or something and you're going to miss a moment. No, this has to be something we live. How many know Jesus lived this? He walked it. He didn't have to have somebody say, no, don't forget Jesus. You got to act like Jesus because, you know, you're God, and so you got to act with love. He just did. And that is for us. That is for us. We don't have to close it or an hour later go, oh man, what have I done, you know? Am I saying it would have given? No, not necessarily given. But what's going on in their life? Maybe the Lord had a word for that person. Maybe the Lord had something that would set them free. They'd never come back again. They would have been free had I given it a moment as a son. So I'm telling you here, I'm desperate. I can't continue this way because I've seen too much. I've been experiencing too much. The veil and the scales and everything's been removed, and I'm starting to see God for who He is. I can't continue on like this. I have to receive His love. So behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, has bestowed on us. He's given us this freely. We don't earn it. We cannot earn this. We cannot earn it. You can't pray enough. You can't read enough. You can't be nice enough to anybody. You just have to receive it. And it's freely received. But it's a fight. Because the enemy of our soul knows that if we get this, he can't stop us. Because we will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and guess what? We won't love our lives even unto death. That's the third part. We always say blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony, but we won't love our lives even unto death. Because our life is in him. Our whole life will be in him. It won't be just something we quote on Sunday. Oh God, you can have my life. No, it'll be something we just live. We don't even need to quote it. We'll live it in such a way that people will talk to us and talk about us because that's the way we live. This is life and death. This is crucial for us to get this. I know some of you are saying, Pastor Mike, this is all you're talking about. Yes, so? Why do you think? Because it's important. It's critical. Behold what manner of love the Father. This word is the agape word. Now there's three words for agape, and I always thought agape was the root. Agape isn't the root. Agapao is the, yeah, believe it or not, is the root. G25 if you want to go check it out. But it is the verb love. For God so agapao the world. We always say agape, didn't we? Hey, it's the agapao. I like that, don't you? But God so loved the world that he gave. This is the noun love. This is the product love. Behold what product of love God has lavished on us. This is an object. His love is an object. His love is significant enough to be a noun. His love has been bestowed on us, given to us. It says that it's shed abroad in our hearts. It's already here. Listen, there's a part of what I'm saying that's ridiculous because we can't receive any more love than he's already given. Figure that one out. I'm telling us about receiving his love. No. Let's just believe his love. I believe if we believe we're loved, we'll receive his love because it's already there. Doesn't make sense, but it does. See, we have to look at the things that are not seen. And if you look at the things that are seen, you look at your life circumstances, your life situations, what's going on with your family, what's going on with work, you look at those, and if that's how you evaluate the love of God in your life, you're in trouble. I'll just tell you right now, you're in trouble. And it's only going to get harder. It's only going to get more difficult. The economy is going to become more unstable. I mean, I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that. I mean, you know, people on Wall Street, you know, did a whole bunch of jumping as far as their financial portfolios. The day after elections, there was a whole big uproar, you know, about how everything's going to pan out. Well, let me just tell you that we have got to know the love of God. And that has to be all that we need. All that we need. And if we have the love of God, guess what? We have a love for each other. We have a love for the world. And we can be a light in darkness. The hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Would you stand? Behold what manner of love. I've been listening to this MP3 music, and it's by Jonathan David Helser. And I've never heard music that is so like aligned with what's in my heart as this. I've heard other, you know, great stuff, but this one song says, "Let heaven fall like a wrecking ball and crush all my fears." Is that not the truth? Why are we so afraid to let God love us? Are we afraid what we're going to lose? We're not going to lose anything. We're going to gain everything. But even in me, at times there's hesitation and there's fear to just totally leap out and just say, "You got to catch me, Lord." I don't know if it's worrying about what others would think. You know, most of the time I don't worry about that. But I know that that's part of what's going on inside this vessel. Worrying about what might happen, like with our family or our relationships or the body of believers. I just step out and just say, "You know what? No more. No more hesitation. You got to catch me, God. You love me that much." Oh, behold what manner of the love of the Father. Father, I just pray right now for every heart that's here, including mine, we would behold your love. We keep it in front of us. We keep it in our hearts. We keep reminding ourselves of it. We keep casting down every thought and every imagination, every lie the enemy tries to bring up that keeps us from seeing your love and knowing your love. We cast down every circumstance, every situation, every way that our life looks right now. We won't focus on that, Lord. We'll focus on you. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood has made a way for us to be the children of God. Your blood has washed us. Lord, your word says that you even washed us personally in your own blood. I don't know how you do that, but I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that you personally washed me and removed my sins. So I could be a child of God. So I could be a son. Holy Spirit, let the love of God just continue to crush every fear, every anxiety, every hesitation. right now in Jesus' name. We receive your love, Father. We receive your love. You know what we need to do? We need to repent. We do. We need to repent. That means change your way of thinking. We need to quit thinking the way that we're thinking. We need to quit thinking of ourselves from an earthly point of view and start looking at ourselves from God's point of view. Because we can. We have the mind of Christ. The church of Ephesus, in all of its glory, all the things that they accomplished for God, all the truths that was revealed to them through the Apostle Paul, had something against them. They had strayed away from their first love. And I always looked at that, I was talking to Gay last night, in the eyes of a slave. I'm like, oh God, I don't love you anymore. Or they didn't love you anymore. And I realized it was so simple. They forgot how much God loved them. They thought they had to do all these things to be loved by God instead of just receiving his love that was right there all the time. And they were encouraged to repent and return back to their first works. I believe those first works were first receiving the love that God had for them and then loving others with that same love. You go and do the same. Change your mind. Don't follow the same patterns and habits and ways that you've been walking in for so long, because you don't have to anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to sing it one more time? Okay.
You know what the enemy means for evil? You turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Forgotten us, 'cause you're with us in
All right, praise the Lord. Go and be sons and daughters. Go and make a difference, not being in your own strength, but in God in you. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Choir practice right now.